Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Well, good evening, Valley Bible Fellowship. How are you guys all doing? Online, in person, people. Glad you guys are here. Can we give it up for the worship band one more time? Oh, man. Tonight's going to be a good night. I love what we get to do here. If you were not at our worship night on Sunday, man, it is, we'll have more. It was a lot of fun. God did some amazing things. It was completely different from the last time. And if you were not here, I don't know when the next one is. I think we've been talking about one of the months that starts with an M. And so I think it's going to be after Easter. We'll see what happens. But God was doing some things there, and it's just a good time for us as a church to get together and worship Him, and then even open up a time for us to pray and just kind of be in the presence. The first one that we did before the year ended was very energetic. It was a lot of fun. It kind of, I don't know, I guess single-minded ourselves as a church to worship. And then this last one, it was more of just like about being in God's presence. And it was just so powerful. And I think sometimes, I don't know where you're joining us mentally this evening, but sometimes I feel like we can just go through the motions. And my prayer for you this evening is that we don't go through the motions. My prayer for you this evening is that we would be in a place where we humble ourselves, that we know that we need God, that we know that He is capable of doing the things that we can't, because I think a lot of times we will be here and we will take for granted what it is that just happened on the stage with worship. You know, you might be so caught up with the tone of Kyle's electric guitar or Sherwin's amazing drum skills or John's piano playing the ivory keys and his vocals and his beard and how Allie sings those notes and how Chad, not only, hopefully Chad can hear this, your falsettos, Chad, are fantastic. And on top of that, his bass playing skills are just amazing. So you get caught up in that. And sometimes we just forget that there are so many more things that are happening. I guarantee you there were people that were standing here in this room that God was putting the urgency on them to pray for somebody. And my prayer is that you said yes. And my prayer is that as we come here tonight, we will say yes to the fact that none of us here are wasting our time. We're here to learn, we're here to grow, and we're here to, most importantly, hear the Holy Spirit. Amen? Like I said, there are so many amazing things that are happening at this church, and the worship night was just one of those things. And we also have a lot of things going on. Pastor Justin, who was out here doing announcements, has something amazing going on out there in the junior high ministry tonight. And Pastor Gennaro, who's here on Wednesday, he'll be here next Wednesday speaking. There's a lot of good things that happen around this campus and at both campuses. There's a lot. We're a growing church. I don't know if you're just Wednesday people or if you are somebody who just, you know, maybe you just attend online or, you know, I was asking our tech department, you know, how many different places we are actually making contact as far as our streaming. And I think it was Iceland and somewhere else that we have not reached a single person yet. But we have reached all over the world, this church. And it's a part of what God is doing. I don't want to get it misunderstood. We're not trying to build our brand, okay? But we get to be a part of what Jesus started. We get to be a part. And not that, oh, hey, it's everybody that's on this stage. It's us. Everybody. You online at home or wherever you're at tuning in, this is us together. It doesn't even matter if VBF's your home church and you're just, you know, tuning in because that's just what you do. You like to play this instead of the news. Whatever it is, We are a part of God's church, and we are. If we're not in this place, we should consider ourselves lucky and humbled in that. We have a lot of great things. If you would like to get involved in any of the things that go on here at this church, it is as simple as saying yes and talking to somebody who you see here regularly. Riley is an amazing face that you can talk to. His beard is fantastic, and you normally see him here. If you get here early enough, he's making sure every row is straight. So if it's not straight right now, that's your fault. So we are continuing a series in the book of Acts. I started it last month, then Pastor Justin, and then Pastor Al. And then Pastor Jim was here last week, and he did his own thing in Daniel, but that's okay. He's from Thousand Oaks. So we're going to continue in the book of Acts. And if he watches this, hopefully he knows I love him. But he was in the book of Daniel. If you want to check that out, please feel free. But we're going to continue in the book of Acts. I'm going to jump around between chapters 1 and then chapter 2. I just want to real briefly kind of conclude chapter 1. And I want to set it up here for you. If you're not familiar with the stories of the gospel, you will know that there was one of Jesus' disciples named Judas, pretty famous. The kiss heard around generations. He basically is the one who turned Jesus over to then be crucified, and he ends up taking his own life. And now the apostles are in a position of finding a replacement because, for whatever reason, there had to be 12. And so as they are then in this position, we pick up in Acts chapter 1, verse 23. Chapter 1, verse 23, and it says, "So they put forward two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, however you want to emphasize it, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'You, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which of these two you have chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship,' which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." So that's more or less where they're at. So they prayed, which is always a good thing to do, especially if you call yourself a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. It tells us not to worry, but in everything by prayer and supplication, right? We know this stuff. This is elementary, fundamental stuff. Even if you're a non-believer, you know that you're supposed to pray. It's a good idea. But now we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, and it's on this day of Pentecost that something amazing happens. That going back to what I mentioned earlier, you know, sometimes we can take all this for granted, what we're doing. We can take for granted the gathering of one another here, or even you at home online. Like we can take for granted what it is that we get to be a part of. I don't know who's back there. Tony, are you back there on camera one? Is that you watching me? Love you, Tony. I ran camera one during COVID, and there wasn't a darn person in this building during COVID. To have a room like this completely empty, Pastor Ron teaching up here, watching him preach to an empty room, that was pretty weird. And I'm back there filming it. We had some other people, like one person right here and then another person right here, more than 6 feet apart. It was crazy. And so I remember being in that moment and just saying, like, wow, like this, there's a difference. When the church is gathered together, there is something so much better than being in isolation. We've learned this. Some of us know this all too well, which is why I want to further emphasize the gathering of the church and the gathering of worship when we have our worship nights. I don't know where you're at. I'm not judging you if you weren't able to make it. Stuff comes up, and I get it. But if you can make it, the Bible tells us to not neglect gathering together, because it might be in a position where it might be a night or an evening where you are there to pray for somebody, or you're there for somebody to pray for you. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 5 through 8 is where we're going to start here this evening as we continue in the book of Acts. It says, "Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven." So let's pause right there. Can we leave that up? Yeah, living in development for many years. Yeah, I can't leave that up there. we got to understand the setting, because you might, I mean, everybody in here, you're in church, so you're biblical scholars. So for those of you that are not, and you're a newbie, welcome. We read the Bible. It's all we ever do. We don't read anything else, not even Twitter. So we are in this book that is talking about how Jesus has ascended into heaven, but when Jesus was on the earth, there was something that set him apart from every other man. And we talked about it in chapter 1, towards the end of chapter 1. And it says that the Holy Spirit was going to descend not many days from now. And they were going to receive power. And they were going to receive authority. And something was going to happen to communicate to the rest of the world that Jesus truly did rise from the grave. That there was something set apart from him. Now we see that there are a whole bunch of God's people from different parts of the surrounding areas. If you have one of these Bibles, I got one just to prove it to you. I got a little map right there. Tony, can you see that real good? All right, online, you got it. You can barely see it. It's all right. Maybe bring the saturation down or something. But we've got a map in here that brings in and shows you that there are different Jews coming together for Pentecost. Which it might not seem like a whole lot to you, but these were people who spoke different languages, who had different backgrounds. And like it says, every nation under heaven. That's an important statement that we can't just read past. But then we'll continue. Put that next verse up. Cool. I just want that up for you guys to read. I got my own Bible. I'm in church. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each of them was hearing them speak in his own language. The Holy Spirit has fallen, and it says, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Now, I'm not even going to try to pronounce some of these places that these guys are from, because they got the PHs together. So that's not puh, that's fuh. And I don't know how to say it. It's like, I don't even know how to say it. I'm going to try. But there's different places represented here. And there are now updated, the new apostles, 12. And there are more than 15 places represented here. So I am not a smart man, and I like to use my imagination. So if we can put ourselves in an area where there are 12 men speaking, but each of them is speaking in a different language, but not just that. My understanding is that they would have to be speaking, and somebody from Egypt is hearing. Thankfully, my name is Thomas, so I get to be one of the apostles. So me, I'm speaking not only Egyptian, but I'm also speaking Cretan, the people from Crete, all at the same time. I'm not here to talk about how it says when the Holy Spirit descended, they were speaking in tongues. Some theologies and some doctrines and some people like to fight over that, but let's just read it at face value. This is not heavenly angel language necessarily. It's real. It's Egyptian. It's Galilean. It's Judean. It's the Medes. It's the Parthians. It's the Asian. There's a whole bunch of different people being represented here as these men are speaking. It is only an act of the Holy Spirit that is moving with them. And the people then begin to say, these guys are crazy. If you can put up verse 11. So it says, the Cretans and the Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God. We'll come back to that. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking and saying, they are full of that cheap, sweet wine. Everyone say, haters are going to hate. And it's just the truth. You could be bringing people the best news in all of the world, and you'll still have those people that just say, you're just drunk. You're narrow-minded. You're uneducated. Thank goodness the apostles didn't listen to them. I'm titling tonight, Use Your Words. Use your words. I have people in my life that are pretty close to me, and they have authority in my life, and they'll speak to me, and they'll correct me. And there was one time I was talking to my son, and he was being a little punk, okay? But I was on the phone with the wrong person at the time. And so he goes, "Don't you speak that over him. Words have power." I want to sit in that for a second. What's really interesting is I can remember the feeling I got when I was called the class clown in third grade. I am currently 31. And I could still remember it as if it was yesterday. I remember when these teachers, I remember when my eighth grade teacher, I tried to run for like ASB, like an office for the school. Well, I was class clown since third grade. So I remember I walked in during recess and she goes, "Nope, nope, get out." Why do I remember that? Because words have power. I remember the day that I graduated, and my teacher at the time, Mrs. Clark, who goes to this church, she grabbed me right before I graduated. I walked back to my seat, and she looked at me, and she said, "You are going to go on to do great things." The power of words. The power of words. I don't want to necessarily get caught up in the fact that there are these people here that are speaking and, you know, it's different tongues, and so we're going to get caught up in how important it is to speak a heavenly language. So next time you get baptized, if you're a high school kid or a junior high kid going to summer camp, you're supposed to come out of the water speaking in tongues. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about the simplicity of what is being said here. I want to talk tonight about a new tongue that we can speak in, the language of love. Because there is a world out there that is progressing so much quicker than you and I can even catch on. And naturally, what believers do is anything different is from the devil. So we put up walls, we put up shields, we begin to curse it. And if we are going to reach the next generation, if we are going to reach the people coming after us, we've got to learn how to speak their language. We can't blame them for loving video games. We can't blame them for living life on the internet. It was what we were all told to do the last 2 years of our life. We've got to be able to reach people. We've got to be able to encourage people. I want to put it like this. The language of love will be the effects of the gospel. The language of love is going to be how it is that the gospel affects you. Because I think sometimes what we try to do is we try to tell people that if they keep sinning, they're going to go to hell. When has that ever worked? The Crusades. I mean, yeah, sure, for like a ego, right? Like there were 70,000 people that gave their lives to the Lord. That's awesome. Where are they now? I mean, I really want to look at this. If we have the Holy Spirit moving through us, you and I have got to live this guerrilla-style warfare against the devil. We've got to be creative in the way that we love people. Don't worry. I'm a dad, so I got a 4-year-old and I got a, how many months? 17-month-old? Something like that. He's one. He's 17 months because that's what you're supposed to do according to Instagram and Pinterest. But he's one, and I've got to address them all the time. But I want to ask you a couple of questions. You know, when you have people who are in need of a compliment, when you have people that you know that you should compliment them, this might be a guy thing, this might be a girl thing. Girls, it might be a little bit easier. I don't know. I'm not too sure. Because when girls see another girl wearing a nice pair of boots or something, or their hair just got did, like, it's very easy. "Oh my gosh, your hair, girl." But a guy, dang, bro, your muscles. That's never going to happen, right? Like you got to go safe. Like, you compliment tattoos. You can't compliment hair necessarily. Bro, your hair, that looks bomb. I like how it's receding. You know, like, you can't, you make it work, you know? Like, you can't necessarily compliment like that. But why is it that we withhold compliments? When somebody does a good job, why is it that we have such a hard time? I think it's because of our own insecurities. You're not feeling good about yourself, so therefore, why should you make somebody else feel good? Or maybe that's not even you. Maybe it's literally the same way as you trying to swim if you don't know how to swim. You're not going to help somebody swim if you don't know how to swim, but you're thrown into the water anyways. You know, we're forced to be around human beings, and we're not always excited to be around these human beings, but we have to, and, you know, God loves us, and he died on the cross for us and all that jazz, but it's still hard to go out and be the light because, well, you don't necessarily know enough about Scripture to quote it to them. You do know that there's love out there somewhere, and one day you'll find it, but you don't know it yet. I mean, you feel close to it during Easter and Christmas, especially when things are going your way, but as soon as it doesn't go your way, you tend to kind of pull back from God. And, you know, don't even get me started on your Facebook, because on your Facebook, Nate, nobody can tell that you're a believer, but we're not going to go there because you're posting photos that are even worse on Instagram. I'm just trying to get to the heart of what we're here to do tonight. Because if we're going to be people who truly believe in God, we have to start acting as though there is a Holy Spirit living inside of us. I got 3 points for you tonight, but I'm not getting there yet. Back room. Alex, I want to help you guys out, because how is it that we get there? How is it that this language of love, if you're a note taker, if you're looking for a new tattoo, I'll put this down. Language of love equals the effects of the gospel. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But how is it that we get out there? There's a lot of different people here tonight with different backgrounds, problems. I'm going to cover a couple of things here real quickly. The language of love to your spouse, for those of you that are married, or for those of you that God is going to bless you with that. The language of love to your spouse. Make time for them. Talk them up around other people. Pray for them and what they're going through. Those are three real easy examples on what to do for your spouse. I loved the high school kids. They would take notes. Y'all are just staring at me, except for you, Armando. Because you're all adults. You're grown. Language of love for your kids. Been doing youth ministry for probably 10 years. Encourage them. Now, I don't know what kind of parent you are. Maybe your standards are really, really high. Maybe it's A pluses and everything. Maybe it's like, hey, you're on the basketball team, you better be playing or starting, or you're on a sport, whatever it is, you better be playing or starting. But even them just being out there is good. Them trying is good, because last I checked, everything about them comes from you. Encourage them. Ask them why they like what they like. Because I think sometimes we get real scared today. You know, you raise your kids in the church, or you raise your kids to be a certain way, and all of a sudden they start shopping at Hot Topic, and you don't know what to do. Not hitting too close to home for somebody. I'm sorry. Abercrombie and Fitch, whatever's better. Actually, I don't know if those are better. But ask them why they like what they like. Talk to them. Make time for them. Pray for them on the way to school. Pray for them on the way to school. I'll reiterate, use your words. My kids don't know any better. We pray over meals. We pray over situations and circumstances. My kids pray for me. Even my son, Jeremiah, he doesn't even know, and he doesn't even talk yet. But he will put his hand out for prayer because we hold hands when we pray. He'll put his hands out, and then even when we're done, we say amen. He makes some sort of sound at the end. We do prayer nights at the Northwest campus, and I brought my kids because women had their Mighty Women thing there, and I think every woman in the world was there, and it was, calm down, ladies. But I had to bring my kids in there with me. My kids were in the prayer at the prayer night for at least 20 minutes, keeping their mouth shut. They knew what was going on. My son was just sitting there looking at everybody else praying. They know. If you set the bar low for kids, they're going to reach it. If you set the bar high for kids, they're going to reach it. And show them that you are there for them. Show these kids the language of love. How do you show, like, your brothers and sisters, your mom, your dad, your aunts, and your uncles? Send them Bible verses. You believe in the book, right? God's word, it does not come back void. Pray for them. Encourage them like you would. The Lord gave me this one. This might hurt somebody. Encourage them like you would someone from church. That was a little uncomfortable, a little bit, huh? It's easy to call somebody over, hey, oh, what's up, brother? Let me pray for you. Come on, sister in Christ. Let me get another girl over here so we can pray so it's not weird. And so it's this thing where we would encourage these people, but then it comes to the people we got to see regularly and like, oh, ooh, mm-mm. Show them that you're there for them too. What about for your coworkers? You're breaking rules now. Not if you're creative with it. You don't got to walk in with one of the shirts that we make around here. Lazy. You know what I mean? Like, some of you do that, though. Like, oh, hey, sorry. You having a good day today? You know, like, why do we do this? But just walking and just being encouraging. You being the one coworker that, man, why are you so happy? Why is it? And you don't got to, like, you're not fishing for them. Why? Because we care about them. We're not trying to get them to sit next to you at church. That's a byproduct. But if they can be coming to you, I found out, you want to know how I started coming here to church? You want to know? My dad found this out at the worship night. There was an electric guitar player who played here, over in the other building, that my dad knew. And my dad was going through some stuff, and he goes, hey, like, you're the only Christian I know. Tell me what God says about this. Fast forward, I then start coming to this church when I'm in third grade because my dad started coming because of the electric guitar player that he knew that would talk to him about God, because he knew that this guitar player, his name's Kenny, Kenny would just be obvious about his faith. And then my dad had the open door. Fast forward, I'm up here now telling you about that. It wasn't because Kenny went out to the Kern County Fair when it's popping and held a sign out in front for everybody to feel guilty as they're in line. That was a little too close to home. Sorry for whoever that is that does that. I'm sure you're going to get rewards. What about being thoughtful for your coworkers? I mean, obviously you can't maybe say or pray for them in the middle of work, right? But you can log it in your brain that they looked a little down earlier in the day. So when work is over and everyone's clocking out, now you're off the clock. Hey, I saw that you looked a little down. I just want to make sure everything's okay. Do you know how foreign that is out there? Not for us, obviously. We're Bible scholars. But for them out there, they're not looking for more preachers. They're looking for people who really live this thing, that have the language of love. Lastly, not lastly, because these last two are important. How do you love your neighbors? The language of love to your neighbors. You're engaging. When you see them, can I just encourage you? If you've been living there for more than like 2 years and you still don't know your neighbors, just own it. Just own it. Walk over and be like, hey, sorry. I'm Tom. Nice to meet you. This is really embarrassing, but I would like to start knowing you. If we're going to live next to each other, that music you play at 10 p.m. is amazing. I love how loud it is. Why can't we just be those kinds of believers? We can be inconvenienced. I got a lot of old people. I live in like downtown. It's a lot of old people around there. They're great, though. I got a bag of pecans the other day. But you know what's crazy is just when we first moved in and it was just, hi, I'm Tom, this is my wife, these are my kids, hey, nice to meet you, hey, blah, blah, blah. Introduce yourselves and all this stuff. Really, what you're really doing when you first move in, you're trying to figure out who you can and cannot trust. Like, that's just real. You're just, oh, yeah, it's in the backyard of the dog. Okay, cool, pit bull, got it. As you see them, what I first did when I moved into my house is I would write down the names of the neighbors because my memory's not all that great. And then you write them down and you're like, okay, this one from over there and that over there. And then you see them and you start building this relationship for them or with them. And little by little, as you begin to have conversation with them and it grows. And now you've got neighbors. So when it says love thy neighbor, it's easier for you because eventually God will open the door where you can pray for him. Lastly, the language of love to yourself. We're real good at forgetting ourselves. I pray for my kids every night, pray for my wife. And as I was praying for my son one particular night, I started thinking like, dang, I could use this prayer. But it's so weird to pray for yourself, especially as a man. Lord, I want to be able to lift more. That's not really what you need. It's crazy how we will forget to love ourselves. But remind yourself of who you are. Believer? Remind yourself that Jesus saw you as worthy to go through the worst, excruciating death he could ever possibly imagine. And saw you as worth it. Saw you as being worthy enough to carry the very spirit that raised him from the grave. And own scripture. It's yours. We like to pray over people that no weapon formed against us will prosper. But what about yourself? It's not supposed to prosper against you either. What about these promises written to us through these 66 books? Those are for you too. Yeah, but I'm kind of a terrible person. Yeah, God knew that. God knew that. I never really got to the points. I have three, and we're basically up. I'm not going to share in back room. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I know. Praise God. But I do want to encourage you to use your words. You know they call them curse words for a reason? I want to take a guess at what they do. They're curses. Swear words. Kind of puts it into perspective why God tells us we're not supposed to swear by anything. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. But somehow those things have leaked into our language and we think they're okay. There's a lot of science behind the power of words, but you already know it. You're Bible scholars. But something I want to really take out of the season that I want to put back in. There's a lyric I want to read to you from a song you might know. It says, long lay the world in sin and error pining, which is another word for suffering, until he appears and the soul felt its worth. I love poetry. I wish I could be a poet. Because it's so true. Guys, until Jesus, like, there wasn't this. And so we sit here tonight in desperation for something more. That's why we're all here. We don't get any money when we leave here. You're not guaranteed a better marriage when you leave here. What you are guaranteed is the power of the Holy Spirit. We're reminded, some of us, of the power of the Holy Spirit. The bar has just been raised a little bit, because what we see through the person of Jesus is love. This language of love. He died on the cross. It says that he made eye contact with Peter when Peter betrayed him. And still, when he comes back onto the scene, he goes to Peter and he says, "Do you love me?" Peter's like, "Yeah, he's a friend." He goes, "Okay, take care of the people. Do you love me though, Peter?" "Yeah, of course I do. As a friend." "All right, Peter, then take care of my sheep. Peter, do you love me?" And in that moment, because I'm sure Peter was amazed at the presence of Jesus. "Jesus, I see what you just did with your words. You restored me. I denied you. And yet still, you would be here to restore me." I want to encourage you. We're going to pray here in a minute, but I want to encourage you. You know, I'm not here to necessarily attack anybody or pick fights with anybody. Whatever it is that you believe, how we all got here. It's pretty interesting that of all of God's creation, we are the ones who talk like him. We were the ones who, like him, can speak. And sometimes, majority of the times, we just don't use it right. I've seen it. I've seen the power of a compliment. I've seen the power in words. I've seen the power. I've received the power from words. We've all been thankful for those people who saw something in us that we didn't see in ourselves, and they also didn't keep it to themselves. They shared it with us. Through words, God communicated to human beings that you are the best of my creation. He tells us to name the animals and the vegetation. He tells us that it's ours to take care of and to subdue. And sometimes we just misunderstand it. We forget who we are. We forget that we're royalty, this priesthood that God has set apart. It's so crazy, because all I'm doing is using my words to encourage you. And you can do the exact same wherever you go. Love your kids, your spouse, even if they're not deserving of it, however old your kids are, whatever kind of mistakes that these people have made in your life, even if they want nothing to do with you, our love is not determined by humanity. It's determined by our God. Through Jesus, we love because he first loved us. And then we go out and we share the love. What can man do to us? Let me pray. And we'll end tonight just through the power of words. Father God, I thank you for what you are doing in our lives. I thank you that you have set us apart above all creation. Your word says, oh Lord, that you love us. You're crazy about us. You saw these angels and you said, no, I'm not done yet. I can do better. You saw nature and you said, I can still do better. You created animals, the big ones, the little ones, and you said, I could do better. And then you created us, and you said, wow, that is really good. And I thank you, God, that you still see us like that, regardless of the decisions that we have made. And I ask you, Lord, that these words would ring true in our hearts until eternity, where we are able to see you face to face and we hear these words from you personally. I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you that through the power of the Holy Spirit, words like this can be called back to our minds in our darkest moments. I pray for faith in this building and online. I pray for belief for everyone under the sound of my voice to receive this. Holy Spirit, go to those that want you, that need you. Father, please continue to do a work in our lives, in this church, in all churches under your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Love you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our king.